Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Perek Chamish, the fifth chapter in the Hilchos Shvuos, the laws of oaths in the Rambam Seif HaFloh, which in this Perek, the Rambam discusses the Shvuos Biter and the Shvuos Shav, that of the oath of utterances and the oath in vain, which now Halacha after Rambam opens up regarding an oath that is related to someone else's action. Misha Nishba, if someone took an oath, Shazark Ish Pleinit Tzer L'Yam, that person, some other person, threw a pebble into the sea, V'ulay Zark, and he didn't throw it in, or he swears he didn't throw in, and he did throw it in. So the one who's saying this oath, and it's false, he's not fulfilling his oath of utterances, where he's lying regarding what happened, he's liable for the Shavuos Biter. Now, and there's a chiddush over here. Although you can't have this oath in the future tense. And the Torah says, which to do good or to bad, which sounds like in the future tense, it doesn't make a difference. It's not the primary element. It's just that it has to be that you could either do good or bad, but it doesn't have to be that you have to be able to do past and future. You could even have a situation where it's only applicable in the past tense, when it's related to someone else doing something. The one who's taking the oath could be liable because it's applicable for the past tense, even though it's not applicable for the future tense, as Rambam explains. Because this person cannot have made the same oath in the future tense. That this person will throw, or that that person will not throw, because that person is not in his domain to decide if what that person is going to do, to throw or not to throw. And therefore, anyone who makes an oath regarding someone else that he will do something or will not do, even if it's his sons or his wife, he's not liable for an oath of utterance. It's not in his control not to do or not to nullify. Now, in spite of that, we said, so although he does not have such a Shavuos Biter l'haba, but he does have it l'sha'ava as we open up to halacha. Now, regarding this situation, if someone does make such an oath l'haba in the future, oh, that person, I swear, will throw it or will not throw, which he has no control. They give him rabbinic lashes, because, like we said, he has no ability to fulfill this oath. It's going to be causing an oath in vain, because what are you saying? How could you make such an oath? It's an oath in vain, using God's name for nothing, because you have no control over that. Now, in Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, so why don't you get lashes for the oath in vain? Forget about the oath of utterances, a Shavuos Biter. You're right, that you have no control, that it's not going to be considered Shavuos Biter, but why is it not in vain? Says the Rambam, because it is possible for those people who heard he's swearing that what they're going to do, that with this guy, that they will fulfill his oath. So it comes out when the people, when the witnesses were warning this person when he was taking such an oath, it was only a warning in doubt. And Shane Lakin allow that you can't give lashes on that, unless it's a negative prohibition which is explicit in the Torah, where you know what you're warning him, even though we said that the Rambam holds that you could warn out of doubt and it's considered a warning, but that's only if you're warning regarding something definitive over here. And here, it's not definitive. Now, the other people who he was swearing regarding, they're not obligated to do what he had sworn about. Unless if they answered yes, like we explained in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. So therefore, because of this, he's going to be liable because he is setting the stage for a possible of a shvur shav, so to speak, if they don't do what he had said. But since ultimately it's not definitively like that, because they could do what he had sworn about, so therefore it's not an absolute shvur shav. Now, says the Ram Halacha Gimel v'mkimu devar, and if they fulfill his words, meaning he swore, I swear, they're going to throw it into the sea, and they do, those people are praiseworthy, because they have not accustomed the one who took the oath to have said an oath in vain, because it wasn't in vain, because they actually followed through on that. But still, they give the person makas maradis because as a penalty, because ultimately he took an oath regarding something he cannot fulfill, and you shouldn't be saying such things. Halacha Dalad, Ram continues regarding, however, if it's an oath regarding things, even though it's applying to someone else, but it's regarding something that is in his domain. Says Rambam, when do we say this, that other people are not responsible to fulfill the words of the one who took the oath? They're meshubach, but they're not responsible. Is kishenish bal davashein b'shusay. If he took an oath regarding something that's not in his domain. For example, shenish b'Ruben al Shimon. Ruben took an oath regarding Shimon, shalayelich b'schayra, that he's not going to go on the business trip. Or shalayelich b'shayra, he's not going to eat meat. B'kizabah, or things like that. So, I'm not responsible for this guy took an oath. And therefore, that's inappropriate. And therefore, the one who did it is not doing anything wrong. Let's say Reuben took an oath that Shimon will not come into his house. Over Shleyan Machasav, he's not going to benefit from his properties, which it's regarding what someone else is going to do, but it's regarding his own stuff. The other Shimon, and Shimon violated this, he went into Reuben's house, and he had benefit from his properties without Reuben's awareness. So Reuben, part of Reuben's exempt, Sharehu on this, because it's beyond his control. It's something that he didn't willingly violate. But Shimon is going to be liable, Sha'aval Dabah Hasalai Lassa, because he violated something which is forbidden for him to do. Shleinish Bezeb, because Reuben only took an oath, Ela Dabah Shuba Shusa, regarding something that's in his domain, which is his stuff. And therefore, that will actually prohibit Shimon from having benefit. And Chikriyat Bezeb, anything like that, where if Shimon goes and does benefit, he will have violated that oath. Halacha Eid, the Ram continues regarding what's if, let's say, it's for things that one had taken the oath, which is not really so eligible. Let's say regarding food items. The Rambam says, Shvu shlo eichel. Let's say someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat. V'achal achalim she'in rum lachin. He ends up eating, but things that are not edible, that are not fit to be eaten. Or v'shasam askim she'in rum l'shtir. He drinks beverages which are not fit to be a drink. The pate is going to be exempt. It's not considered as an eichel, as a shtir that was included in the oath. Now, let's say achal dvar hasumin at treb achil. Let's say he ate things which are biblically, which are not kosher. It's biblically forbidden to be eaten. For example, shalchik zayis and velas, treifah, shkatz, or musim, he ate an olive size of a dead animal, or treifah, or shkatz, or musim, which are types of bugs and vermin, which are asam natar to anyways eat. Patim shem shviz bito, he's going to be exempt from his oath that he had taken, that he's not going to eat, because his oath of utterances did not take effect on something that's already biblically forbidden, because it's like ein shvu chala al shvu, because he's already what's called mushba v'im har Sinai. He already took an oath by har Sinai that you're not going to eat these things, which obviously he's going to be liable for eating the nevelas and trefas and so on, but for the shvu zbitui, he has not violated. Now let's say the other way around. Let's say shvu sha'oich, let's say he swears, I'm going to eat. V'achal, and he doesn't eat that day, but v'achal achal and she'in brum l'achil. The only thing he ate was things that are inedible. Or v'shasa maskim she'in l'shi, where he drank things which are not things that are not usually a drink. V'achal nevelas and trefas against him, or he ate things which are not kosher. Pat m'shvu zbitui, again, he's going to be exempt from the Shavuot Bitei, which is actually the inverse. It's actually the opposite of the first half of the halacha. Shari Yatzideh Chilo, because ultimately he did fulfill his oath that he's going to eat, which he swore that he's going to. But what do you mean? I thought these things are not edible. They're already biblically prohibited. Yeah, because Me'achashem Chashuv Metzleh, because since they're significant by him, Achilasen Shema Achila, their eating is considered as an act of eating. Now, in contrast, when he swore he's not going to eat, so his oath was not taking effect on things which are not edible or are things that are biblically prohibited. Because for things that are not edible, he didn't have to swear regarding. So when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat, that's only for edible things. Whereas if he swears I'm going to eat, and he eats, that act of eating is saying, well, I ate. And therefore that's the contrast between those two halachas. And therefore there, he will not violate on that. And therefore both cases are going to be patur, but for that of opposite reasons. Let's say someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat. Shlo yichalti, that I didn't eat. And he actually did eat. But he ate things which are inedible or things that are not kosher. So Chaim, in this case, he is going to be liable. Why? Because there the eating was an eating. Because they were already obviously significant by him. Because he ate them before he even took the oath. Without any reason. Now that he's swearing that he didn't eat, obviously he's lying. Because you did eat. It's something that's not considered, quote, eating. Of course it's eating, because you ate it with unrelated to anything already prior. Obviously for you it's considered eating. Now, Avala Ban, this is what the Rambam is trying to resolve from the previous halacha. But regarding the future tense, Shenishba Shalo Yoichel, that's the difference between if he swears he didn't eat versus if he swears Shalo Yoichel that he's not going to eat. V'nikri Mikra Bech Achalam, and that happens and he eats these things which are inedible. Se'en achila, that's not considered that he ate because it's not significant. What do you mean, I is eating it? Because he can't eat anything else. So he has to find something to eat. So he'll eat what's inedible. Like I explained in the previous halacha, and that's why over here, he's going to be potter. Halacha zayin, shvush la'echel kosher in the veil of trevis. Let's say someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat a minute amount from something that's not kosher, not slaughtered or trefa. V'alcha pochet megzayis, and he eats less than the size of an olive. Well, chay b'shvu, he's going to be liable for the oath. That is because in the Mushbal Chatzis Shema HaSinai, it wasn't considered that he was swearing on something that has already had an oath already from HaSinai, because although Chatzis Shir, the half of the measurement, which is he's saying even less than the Kazayas, is already biblically prohibited, you just don't get lashes, but that's not considered Mushbal HaSinai because it's not an explicit Isser in the Torah, it's only forbidden because it could combine to be a complete shear. And since it's not mushba by Mahar Sinai, so therefore this that he swears is not going to eat, even my Nudabat Minas Trivis. And he does, well, that's a Shavua that he's violating, that he says he's not going to eat, and he did eat, because it's not already included in the Isser Torah, which only that of a Kazais. Halacha Chas, Shavua Sha'ichel Pachas Megazais in the Veil Trevah. Let's say the other way around. He swears, I will eat from this not kosher thing, even less than the Kazais. So Chai B'Shavua's Bita, so he's going to be liable for his. Meaning he's obligated in the Shavuos Bita on some level, meaning if he can't be Mata the Neder, that he actually should eat and not violate his oath, which he swore he's going to eat it, because this is not Mushba by Mahar Sinai, because we said he's talking about less than the Gezais, so the Shavuos Bita is taking effect, that he has to eat from that not kosher thing, which is he's saying on less than the Gezais. Let's say Shavuos Shaloi Oichel Ofa V'Gezi B'Midvam She'in Ramachi. Let's say he says, I swear I'm not going to eat earth or similar things which are not edible, not things that are normally eaten. So Nachal Gezais, if he eats a Gezais, well, Chayv obviously is going to be liable because he had a share of Chil of earth. Let's say Achal Pachas Megezais, let's say he ate less than half, less than a share of Gezais. So raise yourself, that's already a situation of doubt. Shem is Chayv because maybe he'll be liable even for a minute amount. It's not normal to eat dirt, earth, to say that you need to have the sheer, quote-unquote, the measurement of achila, which is a gezayis, because it's not a meichel. So therefore, that's a doubt if that's be considered an achila, even my minute amount, because you're saying you're using eating on dirt, that maybe that would be even a minute amount. And halachatez v'chein anish b'shalei lechel chartzen. So if someone took an oath that he's not going to eat a grape seed, v'achamen pachim gezayisni, 8 grape seeds less than that of an olive size, here it's a suffix, it's a doubt, because on the one hand, grape seeds are usually with grapes, and therefore maybe have a sheer of like grapes, which would be like any food item, gezayis, or maybe that, since you don't usually eat grape seeds on their own, so it'll be like that of the earth, which maybe even minute amount would be considered already a share of achila. Now, but let's say nishba nazir, let's say the one who takes this oath that he's not going to eat grape seeds is a nazir, who also becharts gezayis, is already forbidden in grape seeds the share of gezayis for his naziris. The acham in the pachim gezayis, now he eats less than the olive size of grape seeds. Here in the Chai B'Shavuos Bita, he's not going to be liable for the Shavuos Bita. Why? Because although in general we're in doubt that maybe the Achil would be even less than the Gezayis, here it's obvious, it's evident from the fact that he's a Nazir. Shari'in Daita B'Shavua, his whole intention of making this oath on the grape seeds was Ella Al Gezayis Shu Mishbola, was only on that of a share of a Gezayis, which he already had taken the oath of Naziris, and he's just doing it to keep himself strong, not to violate his Issa Tari that he has of Naziris. And therefore, the Inshavu Chalalav, and therefore the oath is not going to take effect because, again, he's already Mujbala Ba'im Mahar Sinai not to eat Chartz and the Shevek Zayas from his oath of Nazirs. So the Fikr Liver, since the whole reason why the oath is not going to take effect in this case is because he's Mujbala Ba'im, because he's obligated to keep his mitzvah of Nazirs, in Perish Vamev, he explicitly says, Shvush Lo'ichel Chartzin Echad, I swear I'm not going to eat one grape seed, Vachalain eats it, well then Chayiv, then he is going to be liable because the Nazir himself was never prescribed on that of one grape seed, and therefore it's not shvuah chala shvuah, and therefore this shvuah will be the first in its kind, less than that of a kezayis, and therefore he's going to be chayiv for that oath. Halachia shvuah shlo echad tamarim unveils the treifas. Let's say he says, I swear I'm not going to eat dates and not kosher, meaning a dead animal or a treifa. V'achal kezayis nevela treifa, then he eats a kezayis of the not kosher, the nevela treifa. Chayiv af mishum shvuah bitu, meaning besides the ism nevela which he's violating, he's going to be liable for the oath of the utterance that he took. Why? I thought it's Mujbav Oim Har Sinai. Yeah. Shall we call Dvar Ma'asur Mim Dvar Ma'atar? Because in that oath, he included things that were forbidden with things that were permitted. And the Chiddush is that we don't say that, no, he's he's not going to be liable until he eats the dates with the Nevelis, because he didn't say that Tamar and Nevelis as one, for sure he had in mind each one individually. But since that oath is taking effect because of the dates which are not forbidden, so chalat dvar masum is also going to take effect on things which anyway was forbidden already before. The advance of treifas, Kamesh Brown, like we explained in the previous parak in parak da halachi yir alef. In halachi yir alef, the Rambam continues regarding an oath on something that's already forbidden to eat. Aval amnishba shalayuchel nevel or treifa kiyitzi behem. Let's say someone, however, takes an oath that he's not going to eat a nevel or treifa or anything like that which is biblically forbidden, which is already an oath from Har Sinai. It's called Mushba Oim Har Sinai that he's not going to eat them. So, Bein Ochel, Bein Lo'echel. So, if he took an oath that he's not going to eat it, which, again, this oath is really has no relativity because you're already forbidden from your primary oath at Har Sinai. So whether if he eats the Nevel Chevah or doesn't eat it, in Kankhiv Shavuot Klal. There's not going to be any liability of here of his oath, because again, the Shavuot is not taking effect on the prior Shavuot that he had from Har Sinai, that he really had taken a communal oath not to eat Nevel Chevah. So there is not going to violate Leshavu's Bita because there's no oath of utterance here. And Leshavu's Shav, neither is going to be an oath in vain because he didn't swear that he's going to nullify the mitzvah, but rather to fulfill it. And regarding that, that's not in vain because he's doing it to be mizaris himself, and therefore there's no violation of oath here at all, whether he eats or doesn't eat. Now, Halachid Beis, Nishba Sheyoichel Nebel Trefa. Let's say, however, he swears that he's going to eat not kosher. Because it's been Misur Torah or any violation of biblical law that he swears he's going to violate. So Harisa Leikum Shem Shavu's Shav. So he's going to get lashed because of an oath in vain, which, as he's swearing to nullify a mitzvah, which is obviously an oath in vain, like we said in the first parak in Halach above, we're obviously in vain because we have to do the mitzvahs. And that's bein ocha bein lo'ochel. So whether if he eats the treif or doesn't eat the treif, the moment he says it out of his mouth, it was already oath in vain. Halach yid gimel, let's say he says, I swear I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. And then he says, shvur sh'lo'ochel, and I swear I'm not going to eat it. So Hashniya Shavuot Shav. The second oath is an oath in vain. Why? Because you already have a commandment to eat it because of your first oath, and that's considered making an oath to be mevatel a mitzvah, and therefore v'loika Shavuot Shniya. They're going to get lashes right away for the second oath for an oath in vain, which is to nullify your mitzvah because you already have a mitzvah because you already took an oath that you're gonna eat it. And therefore, he gets these lashes, bein ochel, bein loyachol. Whether he eats or doesn't, it doesn't make a difference. It was already shvur shav. Now, if he ultimately does not eat it, then chayev af b'shvur shbita, then he's going to be liable also for the oath of utterances, which was his first oath, because that he swore he's going to eat it. And if the time expires that he had said, and he doesn't eat it, well, then he's going to be liable for that shvur shbita. Halach yidalad, which is the same thing, the flip side, shvur shloichol kigazu. Let's say someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. And then he says, Shavu Shaykh, and I swear that I'm going to eat it. So Hashniyah Shavu Shav. The second oath is already automatically an oath in vain. Sharizu Asura Lav L'Ochel, because it's already forbidden for him to eat it because of his Shavuah. V'leka Shavu Shniyazu Ben Achol Ben L'Ochel. So the second oath, you're going to get lashes right away, whether he eats or doesn't eat it, because that was in vain. You're saying the opposite of what your oath was, which is Nishbal Matal Mitzvah. Now, the machal, if he ultimately eats it, like af mishum shvuah bita, then he'll be liable for also his oath of utterances, because you already swore the first oath that you're not going to eat it. Which again, that's the flip side. It's just telling us that hen v'lav, both pro positive and negative, in regards to the same case. Now, Ram continues regarding taking an oath regarding a mitzvah. V'chein, as we were saying, v'chol kol nishba l'batla a mitzvah. Oh, anyone that takes a vow to nullify a mitzvah, v'loy bitl. Now, so if he doesn't nullify it, he's going to be exempt from his oath of utterances because the Shavuot Bita does not take effect on the Dvar Mitzvah. It only takes effect on Dvar Rishus. So the fact that he's swearing that he's going to nullify Mitzvah has no relevancy. Now, but he's going to get lashes for an oath in vain. And actually, we actually tell him to do the mitzvah that he swore that he's going to nullify, because again, the Shavuot Bita did not take effect at all. And the Shavuot Shav, you're already getting lashed anyway, because what are you doing taking such an oath that you're going to nullify? And therefore, so he has to go ahead and do this mitzvah. Says Ram in Lachat Azav Ketzah, how so? Let's say he swears, I'm not making a sukkah. He's not putting on tefillin. He's not going to give tzedakah. Or someone swears to his friend, I swear, I'm not going to say testimony for you with testimony that I know, which all these are mitzvahs to do. Or I swear I'm not going to testify for you if I know testimony. Right away gets lashes, because he's commanded to say testimony, and obviously all those other well-known mitzvahs. If someone says to his friend, "Shvur shloi edul chayedus," I swear I'm not going to know for you any testimony. That's an oath in vain. It's not in his control to know that if he's going to know testimony or not, because he might end up finding out. He doesn't know that. Anything like this is considered a shvur shav, where you're swearing against something that the reality, whether it be halachic reality or the sensory reality, denies what you're saying. Halach design. Let's say nishbul kaimas at mitzvah. Let's say he swears he's going to fulfill a mitzvah, v'loikim, and he doesn't fulfill it. Patim Shum Shavuot Bita, he's still exempt from the oath of utterances. He swore he's going to do it, and he doesn't do it, he's exempt. Kate said, how so? Swears he's going to make a lulav or a sukkah in stock alone. He's going to give charity to a poor person. Or he's going to say testimony for him if he knows testimony. And he didn't make the lulav of the sukkah, and he didn't give him tzedakah, and he didn't say the testimony. He's exempt from the fact that he swore and he didn't do what he said. The reason is, as we mentioned this before, Shein Shmuz B'techala Ela Deberishas, because the oath of utterance only takes effect on something that's a voluntary element. Meaning, Shem Ratza Eisab, he wants to, he could do it. Vim Lai Ratza Eisab, he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to do it. Shenema, what is the source? Like it says in the Pasuk Mikra, Lahara or Lahetiv, to do bad or to do good, which is, just like obviously doing bad is something that's a Devar Rishos, because Devar Mitzah, you cannot do, quote, do bad and nullify it, because you're Mishbev HaMar Sinai. So then also the doing good is also something that has to be voluntary, which tells us that we're not talking about someone who's swearing to even fulfill a mitzvah. Therefore, that since the Pasuk is only talking about Devar HaRishos, regarding that of neutral elements. So, if someone swears that he's going to do bad to someone, he's going to harm someone, he's exempt from the oath of utterance if he doesn't fulfill it. For example, I'm going to hit that person. He's going to curse him, or he's going to steal his money, or he's going to give him over in the hand of a gangster. If he doesn't fulfill it, he's exempt. Because you're commanded not to do it. And therefore, that's not included in any part of doing or not doing of to harm a person, and says Rambi, you're Ali, and it appears to me but he will get lashes in this latter half of if he swears that to do bad to someone else for oath in vain, because he's mitzvah, and you're being nishba levatel as a mitzvah, like kaim as a mitzvah. Again, there's no shvur shav, but there's no shvur bitui. Here there will be a shvur shav, and the reason why Rambam said the you're Ali is because it's the other cases where binom lamakom, here it's even binom lachaveiroi, where the person could be Michael, still, the person is swearing to be Levatel as a mitzvah, he's going to get lashes for that of Shavuot Shav. Halachi Zayin, let's say Nishba Lahar La'atzma, let's say he swears that he's going to harm himself, let's say he swears that he's going to injure himself, although he's most definitely not allowed to, but Shavuot Chalav, here the oath will take effect, it's not considered Nishba Levatel as a mitzvah, because it's not explicit halacha in the Torah, it's only learned from a medrash from the Chachamim, so it's in a way similar to the halacha of Chatzis Shir that we said in Halacha Zayin, which it is usher, but it's not explicit. And therefore, Vimelo here will ask me, if he doesn't harm himself, well, Chai Mishmish B'yis Bita, then he's going to be liable for not fulfilling his oath of utterances. Let's say Nishba Lehetiv L'Acherim. Let's say he swears he's going to do good to someone else. Hatava Shebiyad L'Asaisa, which is a good that it's in his control to do or not to do. For example, Sheyidab L'Abla Shilton, he swears that he's going to speak to the government for him. Or Yechabdenu, or he's going to honor him. A Shavua is Chalav. The oath is going to take effect in him, because here you could have Hen V'Lav. Yes or no, because if he wants to, the inverse doesn't mean harming him, it just means not doing the favor of him, like a gift for a wealthy person. So therefore, he violates and he doesn't do what he promised, he's going to be liable for the shvua of the bitu. Now, although we said that nishba levatel as a mitzvah is not going to take effect for shvua's bitu, but nishba shalo yichel matzah shono shnasayim. Now, halachi yitches, Rambam says, let's say he swore, shalo yichel matzah shono shnasayim, swear, matzah, no, I'm not doing that. For a year or two, it's sworn off. Actually, the oath is going to take effect. And he's forbidden to eat matzah on the Seder night. He's liable for the oath of utterances. And the Rambam addresses, says, why isn't it considered an oath in vain? Because he's not taking an oath, he's not going to eat it on the Seder night, which that would be trying to swear that you're going to be matzah, which doesn't take effect. Elokal eatim, rather he's including all the time shachilis matzah ben rishus, which any other time but to say tonight it's voluntary. He's including that im eish shachilas ben mitzvah with the time that's also mitzvah, which obviously in the whole year is also say tonight. Ah, mitir shachal shvua shar yam, since the oath takes effect on every other day of the year, so chal alel pasach, it's also going to take effect on the say tonight. Mechin kiyets, if there's anything that's similar to this, for example, shenish b'shleisha b'tzil sukkah l'ayim, he swears I'm never sitting in the shade of a sukkah ever. I'm not wearing any garments for the next year or two, which therefore obviously cannot sit in the sukkah on sukkahs, and they can't not have the mitzvah tzitzis or whatever the mitzvah is regarding garments. That's not considered nishba levatel as a mitzvah because it's included in that of a devar shos. Halacha yitas, let's say nishba shenich tefillin hayom. This is all continuing on the theme of mitzvahs. Let's say he swears shenich telling him that he put on tefillin that day, or he swears he didn't put on tefillin, or shenasad betzitzis, he swears that he put on tzitzis, or shenasad that he didn't put on tzitzis. Here, the oath of utterances will take effect, although we said regarding fulfilling a mitzvah or nullifying a mitzvah, we said it doesn't take effect. That was only regarding the future tense. Here, it's regarding the past tense, then he's going to be liable. Because, and although there's no lahaba in this oath, but we had already previously said that you don't, in opening halach of this parak, you don't need to have lahaba to have the lasha avar. You just need to be able to have hen v'lav, that you can go either one or the other. And here, how is it possible to have one way or the other? What do you mean? You have to put on tefillin. It's regarding, because here it's just regarding the story. Shazem magid davar shenasi, he's saying what happened. V'lein nishba la mitzvah, he's not swearing regarding the oath, regarding the mitzvah, loy lekama v'loy levata, not to fulfill it, not to nullify it, which neither one of those you have a right to, but that's regarding the future tense. Regarding this past story, where he could say either one, hen olav, so therefore he's going to be violated in the shvuz bitu when he says this false oath regarding what he had done or not done early in that day. Halacha Chav, the Rambam continues regarding an oath regarding something that's not possible or inappropriate. Nishbash le'ishn shleish yom. Let's say someone swears he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Or he's not going to eat anything for the next 7 days. Okay, is there anything similar to that, which is not possible for a person to fulfill? Sheishvur shav, that is an oath in vain. So the halacha is, we don't say, let this guy try to stay up until he's in pain. Or let him fast until he's in pain. But he's not going to have strength to hold out. And then okay, then the oinus, what are you going to do? Then he eats and then he sleeps in those two respective cases. We don't say that. We give him lashes right away because it was an oath in vain. And he could eat and sleep whenever he wants to because it's not a shvuz bita, it's a shvuz shav. Shvuz shav, you get lashes, you're done, and therefore he could eat or sleep. Halacha Vav, nishba shiro gomel perech ba'abel. Let's say someone swears he saw a flying camel in the ear. Amalei, they say to him, hey, nishbat lashav, how can you take an oath in vain? What are you talking about? Vami says, no, if God reads, he says, I saw a large bird. Umagodle kardasiv gomel, it was so big, so I called like a camel, like how big a camel is. And that's what I had in mind when I said I saw a flying camel. So it says Rama Inzakum, that's not a good answer. That's nothing. Shein kolod karen gamal ila gamal. You don't call a camel a camel. Uvat ladaita is kolod. And therefore, his intentionality is nullified regarding most of people of humanity. But look, he's going to get lashes for the shvur shav because you're lying. There's no such thing as a flying camel. And then similar to that, he can't say, oh, I was calling it a camel. No, that's considered shvur shav. Halacha Beis, W dua. Itzla Chacham, says the Rambam in words of introduction, says, it's well known by the sages, Bali Seichel Amada, by people of intelligence and understanding, Shashemesh Gedol Min Haaretz, that the sun is bigger than the planet Earth, Meyi B'Shem Pam, 170 times larger. Now, let's say Nishbe Echem Min Ha'am, let's say a person from the people, he swears, Shashemesh Gedol Min Haaretz, that the sun is bigger than the Earth. So, says the Rambam, Ein Elokim B'Shem Shavur Shav, he's not going to get lashes because of an oath in vain. Where? Sha'av B'Shem Dabakein, although that is the reality. And we said that if you're swearing regarding something that's obvious that it is, that's oath of vain, because in dav is a galib yidu l'chalam, because this is not something that's well known by the populace. Only to the great sages and men of intellect, only that. And ve'in achayiv, the liability is only elam kein nishbal dav is a galib yidu l'shnoishab in the adam ishar am. It's only if you swore regarding something that's well known for three people from the populace of the people. He swears a man is a man, the Eben Shu'eben, a rock that's a rock. That's considered Shavu'a Shav. But here, although the reality is what he's swearing, it's not considered in vain because many people don't know that. V'chein sotu, the other way. Let's say he swears that the sun is smaller than the earth. Ain't no lake, he's not going to get lashes. Now, although that's not the reality, but it's not well known for people. Because the Ain't the commission Nishbala Isha, which is the other type of oath in vain. It's not like someone who swears regarding a man that he's a woman, which that is also another type of oath in vain. Here it's not like that. How could he say that the sun is smaller than the earth? Sharele nishba el al ri'is enev, because only swearing regarding what he sees with his eyes. Sharele roya isekitana, when you look at the sun, it looks smaller, and therefore, that's not considered in vain, as if you're swearing regarding an obvious contradiction to reality, because it's not. And anything that's similar to this, medibi cheshmet tekufis, from the calculation of the seasons, and the calendar, mazalis, regarding astronomy, and begamatriyais, and regarding the mathematics and geometry, or anything that's from words of great wisdom, which is only recognizable for other types of people. If someone swears regarding the reality that it is, or the reality against it, actually that's not, neither one will be considered that of a shvur shav, because it's not a main, because it's not an obvious reality that it is this way or that it's not this way, and therefore a person would not be liable in those situations for Shavuot Shav.